relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things you people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him together.
It's a very different opening to a movie. It takes us back to Bosley Berkeley in the 1930s. It's a lot of fun. It's the sequel to... would you want to have to make a sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's a very different kind of movie. And we're going to make it great again here with our good buddy Chris Coles. He of the Alpha Critic and the Reagan channels on YouTube. This is your choice, Chris. You know, if I was told I need to make a sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'd say, no, I'll pass. not something I want to try and compete with, even if I'm Steven Spielberg. Although, I have to say, it's a different movie, but it's a good one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it went in a very different direction with this one. You know, it's a darker movie. A lot of people think it's a worse movie. And I'll be honest, I have always thought that this was an inferior film, not just to Raiders, but also to Last Crusade. But seeing it now, you know, and this keeps happening with this show that we're doing. as I revisit these films that I've seen so many times in my youth, I'm just like, this is such a gem. And I think it has everything to do with perspective, right? We're used to seeing films, like modern day films, on, you know, filmed on digital, everything's super clean, everything's super crisp, and it just doesn't have the magic like these old films did. And there's, I don't know what it is. There's something about, maybe it's the film itself. Maybe it's just the way that films were produced back then, the fact they didn't have the internet. And, you know, they really had to work hard. Everybody had to be at the top of their game. And you look at something like this and you think, wow, by the end of it, you're thinking, this is a masterpiece compared to anything they produced in the last 20 years. It's just, it really was a joy to watch this again.
Yeah, these movies are in a different category. They so engross the viewer. You can't, you know, I watched it again this week. I love it. It's one of the few, you know, movies that I carry on my phone if I've got spare time, if I'm on a plane. This is, you know, one of the greats that we watch. And this isn't a film that you sit down and you start, oh, let me check my Twitter account and see what's going on and read emails. You just want to watch the movie. Why? Because for all of his flaws, I'm sorry, Steven Spielberg is a good movie teller, a good storyteller. The characters, the writing, the humor. But, Chris, this is a PG-13 movie. In fact, the PG-13 rating was invented for this movie when Steven Spielberg, you know, appealed to the higher rating it was going to get. Is this a kid's movie, Chris?
It's a great question. One of the weird things about movies in the 80s was that, you know, it's sort of like comic books during World War II, right? In World War II, one of the most popular periodicals that the troops would get were comic books. That's like, it's crazy to me. I didn't know that until I think I did some research for this show. And kind of like that in the 1980s, some films that appealed to your sense of fun and adventure and stuff that you think would maybe just be for kids, it was kind of for everyone. You know, maybe not 80-year-old men, maybe they didn't like this movie, but just about everyone loved these Spielberg films, these Indiana Jones films. But I do think that maybe he did realize after the Raiders came out, wow, children love Indiana Jones. Maybe we can do some merchandising like with Star Wars, and maybe we'll make it a little bit more about kids. So he put a kid sidekick in it, like Batman and Robin. He put in a bunch of kids that were slaves. What a hero, you know, to free child slaves. You don't get more heroic than that, right? And so there's a lot of kids in this movie. But what's weird about it is it's got this juxtaposition. Yes, it's got kids in it. And yeah, it kind of appeals to kids and like the gross out stuff, like the dinner and stuff like that. But then there is this very dark subject matter throughout.
You mean ripping out somebody's heart while it's still beating? Stuff like that? A classic kids movie angle?
Yeah, it's really a weird movie in that sense. But you know what Spielberg understands? The mind of a child. And maybe that's why he's such a great filmmaker. Because when you're a kid, you really do like that dark stuff, that gross out stuff. I found some old drawings that I did when I was like, I think I was like 12 or something.
Do we have to show them to your psychiatrist?
Axes and maybe, yeah, it's like axes in people's heads and arrows through the hand and stuff. And I was like working out how to make things go in and out and like blood squirting out and stuff like that. Like little boys, they love that kind of crap. So, you know, Spielberg really, I think, was on the money here. He understood something that modern filmmakers don't understand.
Yeah, he does. He does have a childlike mind, and that's why these movies work. When he does more serious stuff, not necessarily the same. I got to go back to the opening scene. For me, I like this movie. It is dark. We'll talk about the problems I have with it. But the opening scene is so ballsy. Why? Because it's pure and utter fantasy. The song, I mean, you know, she's in a nightclub and then suddenly this singer, right, disappears through the back of the stage. And then suddenly you've got hundreds of dancers. You're on a Hollywood set somewhere. The dancers move backwards, right? They play the film backwards so that they do the splits and then they do the splits in reverse. If somebody described that in a pitch for a movie, say, yeah, we're doing a thing about an archaeologist goes to India, fights this cult, which is a real cult, by the way. The Thuggies were a real cult. We'll talk about that later. But we're going to have this thing where this woman disappears into this Hollywood set and people are walking backwards. I love it, Chris. I love it.
You know, I have to say, I don't know if I agree with you. When I was growing up, I felt like this dance number was like an annoying thing that I had to sit through to get to the actual movie, you know, every single time I watched it. And watching it through this time, as an adult, it was a little bit more interesting. Obviously, I've studied film a lot more. I know who Busby Berkeley is. I know what, you know, Spielberg was trying to do. And it is a bit of fun. It is a little bit interesting what he was trying to do more as an adult. But I still think, like, let's just get to the movie. From the beginning to the end, it's just action, action, action. And I remember as a kid thinking every little scene, every little segment that they shot was just so much fun. And it really is a fun movie, despite the fact that it's quite dark.
Yeah. I like the opening because it puts you immediately, this is Shanghai. You know, this is the 30s, this is Shanghai, you're in the Obi-Wan club, so you know, boom, 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 it takes you to that place, right? Takes to that place. We're talking Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. If you love what we do for you here, how about not just 1 hour a week? How about you join us for July 4th weekend? It is our Patriots Alaska cruise, especially if you missed our trip to the Holy Land a year ago. Join us for an amazing journey to the most beautiful state of the union, June 29th to July 6th. 200 cabins already gone. Check out the amazing itinerary and reserve your cabin today at sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. And if you love what we do here for you, never miss any of our deep dives with Chris. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do leave us a five-star review and share the links with your friends. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
You will go to Banquet Palace.
I thought the palace had been deserted since...
Now there is a new Maharaja, and again the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
What has happened here?
The evil start in Bangkok, then like monsoon, it moves darkness over all country, over all country.
That individual, if you've watched the making of documentaries, the village elder, none of this was filmed in India. The Indian government said, oh no, you can't talk about our history and things like the Thuggee cult. We're going to kick you out. So they went to Sri Lanka. That individual didn't speak a word of English. So Steven Spielberg was sitting over Harrison Ford's shoulder, feeding the lines to the actor who was phonetic. He had no idea what he was saying. He was phonetically repeating them, and then they edited Spielberg's voice out. Chris, this movie, oh my gosh. I mean, from the get-go, it's dark. I mean, you arrive, you have this village offering this food to the visitors that is disgusting to Willy the Squeeze, but it's the only food they have. So immediately Indy says, don't insult these people. They have nothing, and they're giving you everything. Heavy tone from the beginning, and then they say, our children have been stolen. Wow. We'll get to what happens to the children later, but the tone, I think he was going through a divorce at the time, so this kind of, you know, the film producers, directors were shaped by that atmosphere, but this gets heavy very quickly.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you mentioned the divorce and obviously Willie, the female protagonist, the female lead in the film. She doesn't know about the, you know, she doesn't understand the culture. She doesn't understand these people. So she tries to reject the food. And of course, Indy, you know, then says the famous line, you're insulting them and you're embarrassing me. Right. And forces her to eat it, even though she thinks it's disgusting. I did find. So now one thing that was cool about picking this film is that I can kind of relate to it a lot more now because I happen to be traveling in Asia.
Are you eating monkey brains for breakfast, Chris Coles? Again?
Well, that's top secret. I won't discuss that. But one thing I did find interesting is that they serve them the food on these banana leaves. And really, like, I can order from one of the restaurants here and they will send me the – just tonight – I had my dinner on a banana leaf.
So do you feel like you are Indiana Jones, Chris Coles?
A little bit. I'm riding a motorcycle all over the place out here. And I wanted to get a satchel because I can't really put anything. I don't have like saddlebags or anything. So I wanted to get a satchel. And I actually looked up. This is how much these films changed my perspective on life. I was literally looking up what are the kinds of bags that Indiana Jones carried with him in the films, because I was like, oh, that would be cool to have an Indiana Jones bag.
Chris,
bought one, but you know, that's...
Well, that's the problem. You're an amateur. You think I'm supposed to be impressed with that? I actually own the original Indiana Jones jacket. I found the maker in the UK,
wow,
and they make them now custom made to your measurements. You can choose whether you want the Raiders one, whether you want the Temple of Doom, which is a slightly different cut, or whether you want the Last Crusade. Chris, I own one of those jackets. One day I will let you touch it.
Well, you know, when it comes to film memorabilia, you are one of the greats, for sure, certainly.
All right.
Oh, man, that is a wonderful thing. I might have to order one of those.
I will send you the link. It's called the Western Leather Company. You can choose goatskin, lambskin. It's just absolutely stunning. All right, there's no paid promotions for the Indiana Jones jacket in this show. Let's talk about what he was carrying in that satchel that he rescued for the villagers at the end of the movie. It's the Shankara Stone. Which Willie is very excited about because it's got diamonds in it.
That's the rock they took from the village. It's one of the Shankara stones.
Why'd you glow like that?
Shh. The legend says when the rocks are brought together, the diamonds inside them will glow.
Diamonds?
She wants the diamonds. She is a high-class lady. You mentioned Kate Capshaw, who gets married to Spielberg after this. She has been called one of the most irritating squeezes in any of the indie movies. Talk to us about hard act to follow, you know, from Ms. Ravenwood in Raiders. I do like the Nazi villainess from Last Crusade. Talk to us a little bit about Kate Capshaw's performance. I think she's meant to be annoying, Chris. She's a ditz. That's her point. The character is a ditz.
Of course. She's written that way. I don't know if that was George Lucas getting his back at his wife. I'm not really sure what was going on there, but yeah, she definitely was in a bad... I hate to speak ill of Kate Capshaw, especially because I've met her daughter and she's an absolutely lovely woman. She was on Grey's Anatomy for years, her daughter. But Kate Capshaw is super annoying in this movie. Actually, when I got done with the film, I thought to myself, yeah, everybody says it's so dark. Everybody says it's so dark. And when I was a kid, I thought the same thing. But I do believe, and this is kind of a brutal thing to say about her, I believe if she was not in the film would be about twice as good. She's so obnoxious the whole time, screaming and yelling, wah, wah, wah.
She screams a lot. She screams a lot in this movie.
There's one good scene, the scene that we're playing right now. This scene is the only justification for her being in this film.
The sexual banter goes back to the Clark Gable, to the 1940s and 50s. This scene is actually well written and well acted. Don't you think, Chris, as an actor?
Oh, it's not just well written and well acted. It establishes something about Indiana Jones that we haven't really seen yet in Raiders, which is that, you know, he can seduce a woman. He's a bit like James Bond. He's a little bit, like you said, like Clark Gable. He's got that panache. He's got that charm. And it works really, really well. The lines are great here. It's not exactly how a man and a woman would speak in real life, but it's how they would speak in a really great film, you know, maybe from the 40s or something like that. And they do it really, really well here. Even when I was a kid, I loved these scenes.
And then afterwards, it's even better that, you know, he says something she finds offensive. So she says, nope, no more foreplay. He storms out and they said, you'll be back. And he says, no, no, no. And then what happens is they're seething. The bad guys, the Kalima, come to kill Indy. And then the real adventure begins underneath the Pankot Palace. We are talking Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. If you enjoy what we do here. We love doing it. Make sure that you follow us. Chris is on YouTube. It's Mr. Reagan on the Alpha Critic channels. On social media, Mr. Reagan USA. And don't forget to give me a follow. I'm everywhere that matters. Just plug my name, Sebastian Gorka or Seb Gorka, onto the usual social media platforms. Don't forget, you can watch the show on the Salem News Channel app and my latest Substack about President Trump, the dissident president, is at SebastianGorka.substack.com. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. If you want to make America great again, not just movies, then please fly the flag that says it all. I stand with 45 Trump 2024. Get yours today. Made in America at SebGorkaStore.com with the number one t-shirt. You made it number one. FBI, Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. Get yours today. SebGorkaStore.com. And more important than that, support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com. That's DonaldJTrump.com. How do you feel? I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month from hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and vegetables over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code G-O-R-K-A to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them on 800-2468-751 and use discount code Gorka, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code G-O-R-K-A to get 35% off.
Ah, dessert.
Chilled a monkey brain.
Gruesome, but so funny, and real kind of kids humor, the chilled monkey brains, the beetles, the stuffed, you know, snake with the eels inside. Let's just mention here and then immediately dismiss all the garbage wokery, how this film was an insult to India because Indians don't eat monkey brains, and how the whole movie is about white savior syndrome because the white man has to save the poor brown children. Chris, why do these people not have a capacity to just enjoy movies that are actually fictional?
Yeah, and, you know, and at the beginning, that whole concept of, you know, you're insulting them and you're embarrassing me. Right. That is kind of a recognition that right. You should respect these people. You should respect their culture. Certainly, you've got to take a little bit of liberty, you know, from here and there, just to make the film a bit of fun. You know, he wasn't eating monkey brains and, you know, the snake surprise or whatever it is. You know, all these gross out things. It wasn't to defame the Indians. It was for kids to have a little bit of a laugh, you know? Right. I mean, we can look at this now and say, oh, it's a little bit silly, it's a little bit stupid. But when I was a kid, you know, people were really talking about that. Like, kids in school were talking about this scene, you know, because it was just, I mean, it was, I still remember to this day going to school and kids are like, oh my God, did you see the monkey brain scene, you know? It really was evocative at the time. I don't know if anybody had ever done anything like that in a film. You know, and a lot of the stuff in this movie is like that. And the music, the score comes on and it creeps you out. And everything about this film was something to remember. Whether it was silly or it was epic, you remember so much about this movie. And this scene is no different.
I love this scene here before the party when Short Round runs through the palace petrified by the Indian dancers who are gyrating behind him. Let's spend a moment on this actor. It was his first role. His brother actually went into audition, not him, and he was just waiting outside. And they asked him to audition as well. He got the role. We'll see him again in the following year in Goonies. I just thought this kid was great. Some found him irritating. Let's have a little montage of Mr. Short Round.
Who are
are you?
Wow! Holy smoke! Crash landing!
Short round. Step on it.
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones. Hold on to your potatoes.
Try not loud. There's a kid driving the car.
I think we got a big problem.
Mistake.
I'm very little. You cheat very big. You cheat. You pay money. You owe me 10 cents.
Look at this. Look at this.
You know, a film has cachet and has cultural impact. In the Gorka household, with my wife, with my children, we regularly use the phrase, "Holy smokes, Dr. Jones," and we regularly say, "You cheat big, I cheat little." This kid, I thought this was great.
Oh, fantastic. You know, and when I was a kid, I loved that guy. You know, I wanted to be that kid's friend, you know, watching this movie when I was little. But it is funny because I did talk a little bit about how Willie is like the most annoying character in an Indiana Jones film. And yeah, unfortunately, that is true. But this kid is fantastic. And in fact, I kind of was like disappointed that he wasn't in more Indiana Jones films. I mean, they could have brought him back for at least the more recent two that I don't believe actually exist. I try to put them out of my mind.
It is confirmed those two films do not exist.
I believe that is correct. Yes, scientifically proven that they don't exist.
They're just a figment. They're figments of our deranged imagination.
But Short Round just won like an Academy Award. You can't bring him back for another Indiana Jones film? Come on, guys.
That's a really good question. Why on earth did they not bring him back for those two abortions of sequels that are absolutely appalling? We might mention one by name later, given the fact that Eric said something completely outrageous to me before we started the show. We are talking Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the dark one, the dark sequel, with our buddy Chris Coles, he of the Alpha Critic YouTube channels and the Mr. Reagan channel. Subscribe today. Follow him on social media, Mr. Reagan USA. And if you enjoy what we do, support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. How about you buy American? Don't buy that Chinese garbage on Amazon. He is the inventor of the My Pillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. Over 81 million sold. But did you know he's got more than 200 other items on his website? Get them today. And use my name for up to 66% off, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. We're coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that thrills, pain relief that is liberating over a million Americans right now from their daily pain. I just happen to be one of them. If you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I did. Now more than 5 years ago, I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, for almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and less than 3 weeks later, I was pain-free. That could be your story. Find out today. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and over a million of your fellow Americans. Ask yourself one question. What do I have to lose? If the only answer is the pain, then you know what you have to do. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-473-5433. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4444. 4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
A century ago, when the British raided this temple and butchered my people, a loyal priest hid the last two stones down here in the catacombs.
So that's what you've got these slaves digging for, huh? They're innocent children.
They dig for the gems to support our cause. They also search for the last two stones. Soon we will have all the five Shankara stones. And the thuggies will be all powerful.
What a vivid imagination.
You don't believe me? You will, Dr. Jones. You will become a true believer.
Quite the antagonist, Molaram, the head of the Kali cult underneath the palace of Pancourt. We'll talk about that in a moment. The religion that they, or the cult they represent is a real one. I just texted Eric something that is a funny confluence that I will discuss momentarily that has to do with how I am a PhD today and the link to Indiana Jones. No, I'm not an archaeologist. But first, let's talk about religious freedom in general. If you face religious persecution in America, you don't have to be a cake baker. You can be somebody who doesn't want to get a vaccine because it's against your belief system. Who's going to fight for you? Really? Are you going to fight for yourself? Do you have lots of lawyers, an army of constitutional experts who can take your fight for freedom all the way through the courts, up to the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land? No, very few of us are in that position. So what do? You enlist the assistance of the incredible team at Alliance Defending Freedom. They have won more than 11 cases in the Supreme Court protecting the religious liberties of Americans. They have two cases in the Supreme Court right now. They can only do that. They can only fight for our liberties if they have your support. Will you make a donation today to the team that is fighting for all of our freedoms? It's very easy. You can go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the ADF banner at the top. Or you can call them up. It is tax deductible. The number is 855-374-4767. Please be generous. Even if it's just $20, that's great. But let's try and make it $100, please. I have a goal for my listeners of $35,000 so all Americans' religious liberties will be protected. The number again, 855-374-4767, or just go to sebgorka, sebgorka.com, and the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top. Now, if you're going to have an adventure movie, Chris, you got to have a great hero. And Indy is like, I mean, is there a better hero than Indy out there? Maybe there's Rick from Rick's Cafe. Maybe if you want a rogue, you've got another Harrison Ford part. You've got Han Solo. But, you know, for people of our generation, you know, it's the archaeologist professor. But you've got to have a good antagonist. The late Indian actor who played Molaram, I think you'd agree, a pretty scary and great antagonist.
You know, a lot of the casting in this film, I mean, just about everything except for the female lead, let's not talk about her again. All of the casting, other than that, was absolutely phenomenal. You know, that actor that you said he couldn't speak his lines in English. I think this is something that we've lost in modern cinema. I don't know why they're not casting properly. We talk about this. I saw the most recent Indiana Jones film. It was absolutely detestable on my flight here. It was horrible. But let me just change the subject real quick. I did do a little research about this film just before I came on today, and I learned three things that I think are important. One, the thuggies were real, which I think you're going to get to in a moment. Two, in the original script, a Short Round actually sees somebody get burned and wake up out of the trance, and that's how he knows to burn Indiana Jones. That didn't make it into the film, unfortunately, which always annoyed me as a kid. That I was like, how did he know how to wake him up?
Right.
It was in the script. It just wasn't. It didn't. It ended up on the cutting room floor, I guess. I don't know. And third, I believe that they had to stop shooting Harrison Ford for a little while because he had such horrendous back pain. And if only he had had Relief Factor back then.
Oh, what a smoothie. For the first time in a year, he's trying to demonstrate he's actually done a bit of homework, although he just watched the movie a few hours ago. B, he's smuggling...
Cut off. Can you guys hear me? Because you guys are frozen.
We can hear you. I'm being complimentary to you.
Sorry, I was quite proud of my Relief Factor plug.
What a smoothie. Look at that. Not only does he, for the first time in more than a year... blatantly try and demonstrate he's done some homework before this movie. The fact that he finished watching it about 3 minutes ago is beside the point. And then he smuggles in a reference to Relief Factor. Finally, Chris, finally, you're getting the message. That's how the pros do it. Nicely done. All of those things are true. Thanks. All of those things are true. They actually, between takes, they had like a gurney. They had a bed that Harrison Ford had to lie down on because he had like a super herniated disc or something. And, you know, he couldn't actually stand all day for the shooting. There is a scene where the little boy Short Round is burnt, and then he realizes flame is the thing to take you out of the Kali trance, which otherwise, how would he know that? But let's talk about the first point for a second, because I remembered something as I was watching this movie. I am Dr. G for a reason, because I have a PhD. I have a PhD, we can put it up on the screen, on the difference between religious and political terrorism. The thesis is called Content and End State-Based Alteration in the Practice of Political Violence Since the End of the Cold War. The subtitle, The Difference Between the Terrorism of the Cold War and the Terrorism of Al-Qaeda, The Rise of the Transcendental Terrorist. That is my PhD thesis. And I talk about religious terrorists like Al-Qaeda, and the comparison to political terrorists, like the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, and how the difference between them shapes how you respond to them. And one of the groups I cover are cults, especially the Thuggee. And this is why it was such a touchy issue for India to allow this movie to be filmed there. And finally, they refused because the Thuggee were real. They lasted for more than a century. It was a sect that worshipped Kali, the goddess of time and destruction. And they would inveigle themselves into pilgrim caravans and in the middle of the night strangle the members of the pilgrim caravans with a scarf in honor of Kali, their goddess that they worshipped. So this was a real thing. It lasted for a long, long time and was finally bust up by a British police officer, an imperial police officer who actually penetrated these organizations with undercover assets. So the Thuggee are real. If you want to know more, check out my first book, Defeating Jihad. But Chris, let's get this out of the way, because it's a great movie. It's a dark movie, but man, how dark is it? Couple of things. The heart. Ripping out your victim's heart as it's still beating and then lowering them into a lava volcano pit. Then child slaves, as you mentioned, the whipping of child slaves. And then this scene really disturbs me to this day. When Harrison Ford has been given the blood of Kali to brainwash into becoming a murderer. And then this psychotic paroxysm as he's being brainwashed. This is not a kid's movie at this point, Chris.
Yeah, it does get pretty dark. I mean, they're almost crushed very early on. The infamous, "We are going to die," line is spoken in that moment. It starts out, they start out their adventure from the palace, walking through a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a corridor of insects, kind of vile, gross out insects. Some skeletons just pop out randomly from the wall that collapses. It's definitely meant to haunt people. It's like a haunted house movie almost, you're just going from one gross out scene to the next terrifying scene. There's even a roller coaster ride at the end. Look, when they were making this movie, I do think that they were trying to make it adventurous, fun. They were trying to surprise you. They were just throwing everything out at the audience. You know, people complain about it, but again, you know, when you look back from today, it's just so much better than anything that they're producing now. Even this, which is considered the worst of the first three Indiana Jones films, is still a hell of a lot better than anything they're producing today. And it was just so much fun for me to watch this. I really, really enjoyed it, which when I was a kid, I didn't care about it quite as much because there were two other films that I thought were much better. But now looking back, I just absolutely love it. I don't care that it's dark. I love this movie.
Eric, what did you say about this movie and another movie that doesn't exist, Eric?
I said, and I'll stand by this. I'll take a bold stance on this. I actually like Crystal Skull better than this movie.
Chris, help me out here. Crystal Skull! They think gunpowder is magnetic. What?
I don't know what to say. The refrigerator scene was fine, we're taking this issue to
HR. I'm appealing that. I'm taking my staff member to HR. We are talking Making Movies Great Again, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, coming to you from the ReliefActor.com studios. Did you hear my story about what happened to me at Nashville when all the phones went down last week? I'm walking out at 4:30 in the morning trying to get an Uber to the airport to come back here, and I can't because I don't know that the whole phone system has gone down across the nation, and I felt so dumb. Why? Well, because if you go with Patriot Mobile, you will have reliable service, and you get to choose which network you're using. They have a full 4G, 5G coverage, and guess what? They're not left-wingers. Switch today to the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America. You keep your old number, keep your old phone, or get an upgrade, and you won't be funding one of the big left-wing cell phone companies. It's super easy. You'll get a free activation with my name, extra discounts for veterans and first responders. Just call 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 972-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Don't fund the lefties with every call you make and every text you send. Switch today to the good guys. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just top out the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton called Giza, these sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now, for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98 in a variety of sizes and colors, and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio square and use promo code GORKA at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and the MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code GORKA. That's 800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
The other one, the other right, your other right.
Oh,
the one on your right.
I'm inside. I can't do it.
You can do it.
Feel inside.
You feel inside.
Do it now.
Okay.
We are going to die.
How many times have people imitated Indiana Jones through that little hole in the wall saying, "We are going to die"? If I had a penny for every time, I think I'd be a millionaire by now. We're making movies great again. Last chance for talking about things that we haven't mentioned already. Any negative aspects and a rating, of course. I want to talk about the final scene, which is so cinematic. On the bridge with the sword, telling Short Round, telling Willie, buckle up because I'm going to cut this bridge in half. Just the composition and the shooting. I'd love to see this on a 70mm widescreen today. Let's play that clip as well.
Shorty! Chao Chi! La Tsu Tsangza!
Nana, lady, we go for a ride!
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Is he nuts?
You know nuts? He's crazy!
Molaram! Prepare to meet Kali! In hell!
Hold on, lady. We're going for a ride. Quite the spectacle. Final thoughts on the second Indiana Jones movie?
You know, there are just so many visual gags in this movie, so many tricks, so many stunts, stuff that Spielberg thought, you know, let's not talk about this. Let's show this. Yeah. Let's use this, use this scenery. Let's just use a look or something. And everything is so like when she loses the diamond in the ice, for instance.
Yes.
When he closes the door to the plane and it has the villain's name on the side of it, you know, so many moments like that in this movie. I mean, Spielberg really is the master of visual storytelling. And from beginning to end, like you said, I couldn't check my tweets. I couldn't check my text messages. I was glued to the screen. I loved every minute of it. And like I said, maybe it's just nostalgia for the 80s, but there is something magical about these films that we've just lost today.
I find it funny. I, too, watched the last movie that doesn't exist as I was flying on a plane because I bloody well wasn't going to pay for that movie. What absolute bloody garbage. All right. So the movie cost a piddling $28 million and grossed $333 million. Quite impressive. I want to do a little shout out, a little tribute to the late, great Pat Roach, the British actor and wrestler who appeared in all three of the original Indiana Jones movies. First as the bald mechanic who was chopped up by the propeller blades, then as the chief mine guard in this movie, and then he returns as a Gestapo officer in the Last Crusade. And he was actually a professional wrestler in the UK and a star of the small screen as well. So God rest Pat Roach. Okay, what are we going to measure it out of? We got to grade these movies out of 10. Are we going to do Monkey Brains, Shankara Stones, Mine Carts?
Shankara Stones.
There's only three, but we're going to grade out of 10. All right, Chris
there
Coles.
There were five. They were digging there for the two, other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, the other two.
By the way, Dan Aykroyd is in this movie.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd begged to be in this movie. He's the shipping or the aircraft agent that helps them get on that plane that actually belongs to Lao Che, that they don't know is the chief villain. That's his plane. All right, so we're gonna find five extra Shankara stones somehow because, you know, we can do that. This is Hollywood. And we're going to grade for a modern audience in your case, and I'm going to grade for the panoply of all great movies. Chris, how many Shankara stones out of 10 do you give Indiana Jones? In the Temple of Doom.
You know, it everything 80s is popular now.
Yep.
You know, I'm hanging out with this girl from the Netherlands the other day, and she's 24 years old, and she's listening to We Didn't Start the Fire and all kinds of, like, it's weird stuff from the 80s. I'm like, why are you listening to this 80s stuff? She's like, oh, my dad introduced it to me, you know? So I do think this stuff is popular. I do think you can have nostalgia for stuff that existed before you were born. I'm going to be generous. I think a modern audience is going to love this movie. Yeah. It does feel like an 80s film, but in the best way imaginable. I got to give it 9 out of 10 Shankara stones.
Wow. I think that's fair. I'm going to, you know what, in the great scheme of things, we got to give Raiders 10. I'm going to give this 9 as well. I think I'm going to give it exactly the same score. I think I'm going to have to concur with my friend.
I'm thrilled.
9 Shankara stones out of 10 for a modern audience and for the eternal audience of great, great movies. Okay, my pick this time. Chris, can I take you back in time? Can I go back? This is a little bit earlier than any movie we've ever made. We are going to go to a movie that is connected to another film we've already reviewed. That one is King Kong. I'm going to take us to 1932, a movie made by the same people who made King Kong with some of the same actors and actresses. It's an incredible film, remade dozens of times. Next week, Making Movies Great Again is The Most Dangerous Game. Are you ready?
Oh, wow. Wow.
The Most Dangerous Game.
Yes, I am definitely ready. I'm definitely ready.
It's actually a short movie. It's black and white, but it's absolutely stunning. If you haven't seen it, watch it, because we will be dissecting it next week. In the meantime, make sure you are subscribed to this individual's YouTube channels, Mr. Reagan and Alpha Critic. Follow him on social media, Mr. Reagan USA. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening and watching Making Movies Great Again, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
But one of the things you are doing is an experimental program to provide debit cards with cash on the card. This has created enormous controversy in the city among some taxpayers who say, why are we paying and giving out this money to these migrants? And isn't this only going to encourage more migrants to come to New York?
And the reason it's created such controversy is because how it has been reported and distorted. Here's what we're doing. We are required to feed migrants and asylum seekers, as well as everyone else in our homeless system. About 40,000 are in the homeless system that are not migrant asylum seekers. We're required to feed them.
Wow. Is he really that stupid? He's equating illegal immigrants with homeless people? That's the Democrat mayor of New York, the same gentleman who not too long ago said this about the tidal wave of immigrants, illegals coming into America under the Biden regime. Eric Adams, like a month or two ago, cut 12.
This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month.
But now you're giving them debit cards? Paid by who? Did you pay for the debit cards? $10,000 cash equivalent to every illegal? And why are you equating them with homeless people? These are people who came here on the invitation of Joe Biden. They had homes where they came from. There's no other way that they could have paid between $5,000 and $15,000 to the coyotes. Homeless people don't have $15,000 sitting in their back pocket, Eric Adams. Oh, but you've got another answer, don't you? We'll just all give them jobs. Cut seven.
The most important thing I believe we could do during this crisis is allow people to work. Everyone who passed through the Statue of Liberty came here, and even if it was a menial job, it gave them the dignity and respect that everyone that here deserves. Think about it for a moment. Do you know we don't even hear about the Ukrainian citizens that arrived here? We have a large Ukrainian population after the war that's here in New York City. You don't hear about them. You know why? They have the authorization to work.
Oh, so we'll just give them jobs. And I'm curious, how does a Ukrainian come to America? Do they have a border with us? Are they in the same landmass? Are they in the same continent as America? That's interesting. So who pays for them to get to our hemisphere? How do they cross the border? Who assists them? Wouldn't that be a question to answer? But it's okay, because we've worked it out. The Democrats finally realize that there's a crisis that they caused. Yesterday, Joe Biden woke up. Cut one.
It's time to act. It's long past time to act. I just received a briefing from the Border Patrol at the border, as well as immigration and enforcement, asylum officers, and they're all doing incredible work under really tough conditions. Really tough conditions. They told me what you already know and we already know. They desperately need more resources. Say it again. They desperately need more resources. They need more agents, more officers, more judges, more equipment in order to secure our border. Folks, it's time for us to move on this. We can't wait any longer.
He just did it again. Jeff, did you catch what he did there? He read the bit in parentheses. Say it again. Did you catch that?
Yeah, but at least he delivered it well. I mean, that's a success for him. He got the line out, though.
He read, but he read the thing you're not supposed to say. The instructions on the teleprompter, say it again. He actually said it out loud.
You got a grade with a curve. That was good for Biden. For 35 seconds with no screw-ups except for a little one you can't tell, that wasn't bad for him.
Play it again so people hear him read what's in the parentheses. And if you're watching us on Roku, Fire Stick, Rumble, the app, look at the faces of the poor Customs and Border Protection officers behind it. Could you imagine? You've been neutered. You've been kicked in the testicles for 3 years, not allowed to do your job, and then you're ordered to stand behind this scumbag who's a literal accomplice of the cartels. Play the cut again, and note when he reads the bit in the parentheses. It's hilarious.
It's time to act. It's long past time to act. I just received a briefing from the Border Patrol at the border, as well as immigration and enforcement, asylum officers, and they're all doing incredible work under really tough conditions, really tough conditions. They told me what you already know and we already know. They desperately need more resources. Say it again. They desperately need more resources. They need more agents, more officers, more judges, more equipment in order to secure our border. Folks, it's time for us to move on this. We can't wait any longer.
Say that line again. Pause. Take a break. Repeat. Unbelievable. Well, at the same time, somebody actually secured the border and cares for America because his platform is America First. He had this to say yesterday. Cut three, President Trump.
But this is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years. I call him Crooked Joe because he's crooked. He's a terrible president, the worst president our country's ever had, probably the most incompetent president we've ever had. But it's allowing thousands and thousands of people to come in from China, Iran, Yemen, the Congo, Syria, and a lot of other nations. Many nations are not very friendly to us. He's transported the entire columns of fighting-aged men, and they're all at a certain age, and you look at them, and say, they look like warriors to me. Something's going on that's bad. Now the United States is being overrun by the Biden migrant crime. It's a new form of vicious violation to our country.
It is Biden's invasion. Because of it, a beautiful girl, Laken Riley, is dead. Murdered by a Venezuelan immigrant who was arrested in New York on child endangerment charges and then released by the New York prosecutors to murder her in Georgia. Just moments ago, her funeral began, where people have come out in their thousands to remember her. A woman at the beginning of her life, a nursing student, somebody who had a bright future ahead of her, who was loved by everyone who had the joy of meeting her. Laken Riley is now simply a memory for her loved ones, for her family, for her friends. If we cannot wrest back this nation from those who are destroying it, do we deserve to call ourselves Americans? If that one death isn't enough for us to get politically engaged, then are we Americans? It's not President Trump's to fix. He is the leader, the man out front taking the slings and arrows. It's up to us. As Benjamin Franklin told that elderly woman, it's a republic for as long as we can keep it. Don't just sit there. We've got 8 months to go. It's already March. Are you volunteered? Are you an election officer? Are you running for local office? Are you helping somebody run for local office? Are you working a telephone bank? Don't ask somebody else to save America. We save it together. Oh, by the way, this is America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And then tell the world that you love America and you stand with President Trump. Fly the flag that says, I stand with Trump. Get yours today. It's made in America. SebGorkaStore.com. So much more. But most important of all, please support him at DonaldJTrump.com. That's DonaldJTrump.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.